This is Kid Human of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, bringing you some saddened news. Born Harry Fujiwara on May 4th, 1934, best known as Mr. Fuji, has passed away today. Fujiwara made his professional wrestling debut on December 15th, 1965 in his native Hawaii under the ring name Mr. Fujiwara. He won his first title with Curtis Iokea, the NWA Hawaiian Tag Team Championship. Later, he shortened his name to Mr. Fuji and toured many territories, including Don Owens, Portland, Oregon, with the NWA Pacific Northwest, where he also won many championships. In 1972, he debuted for the WWF with Vince McMahon Sr. running the helm. He formed a tag team with Professor Toru Tanaka, and the duo were managed by the Grand Wizard. Tanaka provided his physical massive strength, and Fuji brought his devious ring psychology to the team, which earned him the nickname the Devious One. Fuji trademarked his gimmick by throwing salt in his opponent's eyes, which earned him his victories for many years to come. Fuji and Tanaka then debuted in the Georgia Championship Wrestling in August of 1975. On September 19th of 75, they participated in a 4-team tournament where they defeated former WWF rivals Tony Garea and Dean Ho in the finals to win the vacant NWA Georgia Tag Team Championship. They would lose those titles later to Bob Backlund and Jerry Briscoe. Shortly after their title loss, they left the GCW, and toured other territories and won several titles. In 1981, he returned to the WWF, being managed by Captain Lou Albano and teaming with Mr. Saito. They won tag team gold by defeating Tony Garea and Rick Martel in October of 1981. They later lost those championships to the Strongbows later that year and regained them in a 2-out-of-3 falls match. In 1985, he became a manager as a heel, using tactics as salt to the eyes or his cane to help win matches. He managed people such as George the Animal Steel, Don Morocco, Demolition, and the Powers of Pain. His biggest managerial success was Yokozuna, who won 2 WWF titles. After leaving wrestling, Fujiwara retired to the city of Knoxville, Tennessee in 1997. Mr. Fuji was inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame on March 31, 2007 by his former charge and Fuji Vice co-star Don Morocco. Mr. Fuji was in a wheelchair at the time of the induction due to 9 knee operations. Harry Fujiwara died today, August 28, 2016, at the age of 82. Rest in peace, Mr. Fuji.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Do you remember the days when Abdullah the Butcher wasn't giving you Hep C? I do. And when I want to remember those times, I listen to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The greatest tag team combination of all time.
The Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
With your host,
the Impact Player, Phil Rea.
And
we'll be right back.
righteousness, Lord. Once again, please give me back the innocence of my youth that was taken from me so long ago. Out of my control, I will not lay the blame on anyone. Only you can save my soul. I'm calling out. I'm calling. Is anyone listening? I'm calling out to you. I'm calling. Are you listening?
I'm listening. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. This be the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Heavyweight Primate, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, and I am joined by... This is the way Scott normally says his little spiel. Let's see. Let's try this again. And I am joined by... This is crazy. How come I can't hear Kid Human? Kid Human!
Yo, yo, yo.
And I am joined by...
The Fat Back with the Way Back.
Scott!
There you go.
You can hear me now?
I can hear you now, Cuddles.
Okay, good, man. Microphone's acting up.
Oh, my word. I was scared. I was hoping you didn't die on me.
God. No, I got backups, man. I'm here.
Baby Jesus. All right, we're live. We're live, Scott. We're live. We're live.
Better
on
late than never.
Yeah. you're not late, buddy. It's okay. Yeah,
and you know what, fellas? That's how you make an entrance.
You're fashionably late. We're live on Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network. This is your Friday Night Delight, the Kid Human, and the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray. Bringing it to you every Friday night, as always. What is it, September the 2nd now?
September 2nd.
Labor Day weekend. Not doing any kind of labor this week.
It's on Labor Day. I never knew why they call it Labor Day when nobody fucking works.
Yeah, you've mistaken us for people who want to work.
Right?
That's a sin. Either way, we are here entertaining you guys, kicking off your... Hopefully you have a three-day weekend. I know I had a four-day weekend because my shit started today.
I got a three-dayer.
Good for you.
Well, 3.5 days. We got out of work a couple hours early today. A couple hours.
What do we got here? We got a couple of hours.
And what do you know? We got a couple of haters.
Oh, man. All right. See everybody in the chat room.
The chat room is stacked.
We got Wario Van Peeble. I love that name, by the way. Wario, that's one of my favorite screen names of all time. The Nate Chiboy.
Woo!
Mr. Captain Photoshop himself, Matt Squires, making you Bonnie Fife.
Yeah.
That's
the one show I've always hated. Fuck Andy Griffith.
Really? Not an Andy Griffith guy, huh?
Nah.
Oh, man.
They still show that shit down here like every day.
They do, yeah, here too. Let's see who else in the room. We got myself, you, and everybody else is a men.
Josh E.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see Josh E. I apologize. Josh E. representing. Hello, sir. Thank you for chiming in. I'm scrolling up now. I see him. I'm sorry. Here's what it is. I have a 20-inch monitor next to my computer monitor, and I use that monitor just for the chat room. So sometimes I don't scroll up because I have the mouse on the main page where I'm working on my computer nonsense, my recording software and whatnot. So, yes, we're having a glorious weekend.
Yeah.
We started off our weekend in the Walmart parking lot this afternoon.
I saw that video.
Yeah, Junior's very excited. He took notes tonight.
Good.
Yeah, so he'll be joining us shortly. What else is going on? I want to thank... Before we get into any news, I want to thank, of course, everybody who's given us feedback these last couple of days for my little spot on Don Tony and Kevin Castle on Monday. It was fantastic. Everybody, and then the next day, you got a write-up in Rolling Stone. So a lot of notoriety that the website's been getting. We're getting a lot of new people joining the website. A lot of new people are downloading the show. The numbers have been off the chart. I haven't checked with Durant. I'm just checking on our .com. We're getting a lot of hits because of the plugs. That was fun, and I want to thank Anthony and Kevin for having me on. And I want to thank everybody who we got some new listeners that reached out to me like that night. You know, hey,
I saw
man,
that
was fantastic, and I got private messages.
Dude, I listened to the show, man. I thought it was awesome.
I appreciate it. And Anthony, yeah. I'm sorry, guy. What were you
saying? I'm saying, yeah, Kevin, man. Yeah, we know each other from back in the day. I remember you.
Yeah,
I've seen you around. We never knew each other like face to face. We know each other by face.
The thing with Kevin is though, he knows people by face.
Yep.
So when I told him you were on the show and I told him who you were, he automatically knew who you were.
Yeah, he's so, like, I know Scott. I heard
exactly.
him. Like, and I looked at him, I'm like, I know Kevin. I've exactly. seen him around.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what's really cool is this whole podcasting thing comes full circle because friend of the show, Kevin Gill, OG Kevin Gill, the Prince of PMA, has not one but two amazing podcasts on right now. And he was from the New York hardcore scene. He's a Queens guy. He had his own record label. He put up VOD and Striving for Togetherness Records. So I know Kevin from the same time you and I were hanging out. So
yeah.
It comes full circle that these guys are all mentioned under the same banner in a different genre. It's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, so, it's great stuff.
Yeah, so you know what? Listen, I don't like to toot my own horn, but as Arn Anderson would say, toot toot. I'm going to say this. I worked a really, really hard, long fucking period of time to get where I want to get today. And I was on the rant. I was doing a podcast in 2 years before I even joined the rant. So I built this reputation on Kevin's recommendation. Like, Kevin's like, you should start your own show. And I'm like, yeah, no, you should, man. You're really good. You know your shit. And I did it. And I'm proud of it, and I'm very humble. People are like, oh no, you don't give yourself enough credit. I think my peers and the fans of the show and the fans of all of the shows that we're a part of, I think, and our peers of course too. I think they all know the caliber of show that you and I bring now, and the new dynamic that you bring to the show, that you put new life into this, into me, into the rant. We made new friends. We made new peers. You know what I'm saying? Like we all did something recently, even to up until a couple of weeks ago. Like we made new friends. So this is a thing where that's where I wanted to be.
Until a few days ago,
right? So if this thing ended tonight, I can walk away saying, "Fantastic! 190 episodes. I did my part. People got it across, and it was dope."
Holy shit. Mid-November, we're going to be doing 200.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to plan something.
We're going to plan something.
Oh, yeah.
We're fixed till Halloween.
Yes.
So we have a bunch of stuff going on.
We're definitely fixed 2 weeks in November.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the angle and the 200. So, yeah.
Right. So we're pretty much good until the holidays almost. So we're going to be bringing you guys amazing shit. We're going to do some extra content with Durant. I am definitely – I got my balls twisted last couple of days with the politics and the Colin Kaepernick shit. And
oh, Jesus, man.
So I am going to do a philatorial that
– I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I know you do. Here's my I won't harp on it. I'm just going to say it's not the actual act because I – listen, you and I grew up in a really diverse area.
Yep.
So we've had friends. We still have friends of every ethnicity, every kind of sexuality. Like we have friends of every specter, on every specter, right?
Yeah.
And we never looked at it like that. We know the oppression. We know the shit that goes on against minorities and people of color. We know the struggle. We'll never feel that struggle, but we will back our brothers and sisters every single chance we get. And I can speak for you on that. I know that I can speak for you on that.
Yeah.
However, when you're a phony motherfucker and you want to do this just to get yourself attention because you're not getting yourself over on the football field, then, my friend, you are what they say, pirate treasure, your booty.
Yeah.
And that was my point. And I got shit for it, man. My wife's fucking bleeding heart liberal friends, our buddy Phil from Europe. Like, they all were like, you're missing the whole point. No, I'm not missing the whole point.
The point is, he's about to get cut, and he's got to do something to save his ass, because now if he gets cut, he could twist it to this.
That's what I'm saying. So the bottom line is, you know, I will support anybody who pauses for a cause. I've done it, dude. I've went to rallies. I've handed out fucking flyers. I've supported people. I voted for people who I thought were going to make change in my country. Like, I did my part. I still do my part. Maybe I don't do enough, and that's on me. But the bottom line is, I know sports. I know sports, I know wrestling, and I'm a street kid. I know people. So if with all those things, you can't mix those things and then give me somebody who's phony, and that's how what and that's how it is. He's phony. That's yep. it. And people are like, well, you know, maybe he woke up. I don't care. You don't wait 6 seasons when this has been going on for a minute, and then realize that you suck, and you're like, eh, I suck at life. I'm gonna fucking protest now. I'm going to not stand up for the national anthem and piss off the country, because the media will hype it. The media will destroy it. The media will make him look like a martyr, you know, and or make him look like a villain or a demon, you know. And he's probably not a bad guy. Matter of fact, as of 8 hours ago, he donated money to charity, and he's, you know, doing that kind of thing. So he's probably not a bad person. He's just fucking retarded.
He picked the wrong time and the wrong way to do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
and the thing with the socks. Come on, man. You saw that, right?
Oh, you mean with the pigs on the socks?
Yeah, dressed like cops.
Yeah, genius.
Yeah.
How about going to a press conference with a Fidel Castro shirt on?
Yeah, talking about we're being oppressed and you wearing oppressor on your shirt, publicizing it.
For a dude who's been oppressing his people for 60 years.
Yeah.
And you and I know Cuban people personally.
Yes.
Whose family, whose parents and grandparents had to leave that fucking country and come here for a better life because fucking Castro put the lock on the world over there.
Exactly.
You know? So don't give me a t-shirt and put Malcolm X on, the great Malcolm X on it, and then put this guy on it and then be like, oh yeah, great minds think alike. No, dude, that's not how it goes here. Do your homework. If you're going to pause for a cause, do your fucking homework. Like, my dad died from AIDS, right? So I went and did my research about AIDS, and I did fucking charity work, and I did the walks and the marathons and the fucking fundraising and the bowl-a-thons. My wife races for Leukemia Lymphoma Society for our friend Jimmy, who passed away, her best friend's dad. We did our homework on leukemia lymphoma. Like, we give money to St. Jude every month. We give money to our church every month for missions across in Central and South America. We give pause. I'm not trying to brag, but we pause for a cause and we do our homework. I'm not just going to do it just to get attention. I'm not going to do it because I want to feel wanted or accepted or bring attention to myself or from other people in the world. I do it because I want to do it because I want to make a difference somewhere in the world.
Yeah. You know the one thing that gets me about the whole thing, and this is the last thing I'll say about it?
Yeah.
The people screaming that you have to let him, he has a right to sit for the American flag and his beliefs are the same people that gave Tim Tebow shit for showing his beliefs on the field.
And the NFL wouldn't let the Dallas Cowboys wear the stickers.
To honor the policemen.
Yeah, that. And how about the last year, I think it was the Seahawks that came out with the t-shirts, hands up, don't shoot.
Yep.
Right? So, I mean, the NFL is a billion-dollar business. The NFL has to pick and choose. If you're going to let one guy pause for a cause, you got to let everybody pause for a cause, Scott. Yeah. And that's the bottom line.
Exactly.
So you know, dickbag of the week goes to him and the NFL. So, I mean, that's pretty much where we stand on that. And I'll have a
And speaking of the NFL, don't forget to tune in tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on the Rant EM Radio for the fantasy draft of the Rant EM League.
Cheap plug. Just got off the phone with Surfer about a half hour ago. You guys were guys who were involved in the league who were pissed off about the point thing. I just talked to Surfer. We fixed a bunch of shit. He had fucking points on there for stuff that he, you know, but to his credit, he didn't know what was going on. So we, you know, I talked him out of that, and he put all the stuff on the group page. Go check the group page. I'm going to be on that tomorrow for a couple hours. And you know, to be perfectly honest with you, it's just another extension of the rant and what we're doing as a group and as a team. Got a lot of big things coming up, man. You know, AA is now working overtime. We got a lot of stuff lined up for you guys. Don't forget to tune into that as our special guest comes at the table with his notes. give us a few minutes to go over the news. Put your headphones on if you want to listen in, okay? Okay. So, I mean, that's where we are with that. Tomorrow we got football, and then Scott, of course, will plug the rest of the network stuff at the end of the night.
Yep.
So, can you okay with that, buddy?
Yeah.
You good? You can fix the headphone. Just adjust the thing. I know it's a little big for your head. All right. All right, Kid Human. You got some – we have some news, my friend.
Yeah.
We got some news to get into this week.
Well, so, while we were, you know, mentioning Don Tony and Kevin Castle, let's stick to that. Rolling Stone put out an article of the 18 wrestling podcasts you need to listen to. Now, are they good podcasts? Yes. Do I agree with the list? No. Now, I'm going to read them off to you. We have The Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana. That's one.
Right.
Talk is Jericho. That's two.
Okay.
Cheap Heat. Don't know who Dave Schumacher is, but
It's serviceable. It's not bad.
Oh, it's show presented by ESPN. So we're gonna go with three on that one.
It's not bad. It's okay. I'm being honest with you.
Okay. No. You'll understand where I'm going with this.
Yeah, of course.
Then we have the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling podcast.
Never heard that one.
Me either. The Chad Dukes Wrestling Show. It's on the DC Sports Radio Network.
Okay.
We're going to go with five. Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast.
Sam Roberts, friend of the Shining Wizards Network. We know Sam very well. Matter of fact, Mikey and I saw him do commentary
2 years ago.
Two years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, talk into the microphone.
2 years ago.
Can you? Hold on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Right. 2 years ago.
2 years ago, right? With Big Dave at PWS? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry.
Then we got the Taz Show. Which is five.
Yeah, Taz is on every morning on CBS.
Steve Austin Show. That's six.
That's six.
Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show.
Mm-hmm.
The Ross Report is number seven.
Right.
What's this? Solo Monster Sounds Off?
That's our boy Jason from Brooklyn. Yep.
Okay. Keeping It 100 with Conan and Kevin Gill.
That's KG's new one.
Yeah, that's eight.
Disco Inferno is a part of that too, I think.
Okay. Then you have the Kevin Gill Show.
That's right.
You have the VIP Lounge with MVP and Greeny. That's nine.
That's on the MLW Network with Cornette and those guys.
Clobbering Time.
Never heard of it.
The Jim Cornette Experience, which is 10.
Right.
What's this? Squared Circle Metal Injection with Zakk Wylde.
That's Zakk Wylde, the guitarist from Black Sabbath and Ozzy. I'm sorry, Ozzy and... His Black Label Society. I didn't even know he was a wrestling fan.
You have the PW Torch.
Okay, that's the...
So that's eight.
Right.
No, that's 10 or 11?
That's 11, I think, yeah.
Okay. 11 of these podcasts are done by people in the wrestling business.
Yes.
Is it fair to say that they, of course, are going to have a one-up over the quote-unquote amateur podcasts like... Myself, you, Rick, Mick Wrestling on Talk Brunch. Who else? You got Will Morgan out there.
Midnight Jury, The Rant, all of our people. Rant Wrestling.
The Shining Wizards.
Shining Wizards.
Inclusive Podcast. Inclusive Neckbreakers.
Yeah, these are all DIY, do-it-yourself, you know. Yeah, you're right. So your point pretty much is, why are people in the business with their podcast getting... top billing over guys who aren't in the business doing their thing, probably just as good or even better.
Right.
Okay, that's fair.
Of course they're going to have the better shows because they can call up their friends and have them on a show.
Right, especially Jim Ross, man. Jim Ross's Rolodex has been amazing.
Yeah. Right? You know, someone like Jericho can call up whoever he wants and be like, come on a show.
Right.
I call that person up or contact him, $1,000 for an hour, please.
Yeah, it's just...
You know, it was a biased list. I would love to see not saying that we would be on there. Definitely, I'd like to see a top 18 list of the amateur podcasts that they think they should listen to. Have a contest. See where shows like we mentioned would line up. You know, let's go for it. I would love to see that. I would send it an audio clip. I would, you know, let's see where we would rank. Let's see how you would rank these shows from across the country with fans doing it. And how well they bring to the table.
I think with the production value now of these shows, especially with the ones that we're a part of and our friends, because our friends do amazing shit. Like, our friends do amazing shit with limited capabilities.
Right.
Like, from Monday to Friday night, not even counting the weekends with Surfer and Will Morgan and Inconclusive Breakdown, Monday through Friday, hands down, we have amazing peers doing amazing things across the board on our networks, on people who are not with our networks, our friends' shows. Every night of the week, you have something to come correct, and I think that's going to just get better and better and better with this medium.
Yeah.
You know, so. And we have the support now of a lot of people. So maybe, listen, I'm not looking for any kind of notoriety. It was just cool that I did a show, and then the next day it was in Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
So now they're going to download the last show of that show, and I'm going to be on it.
Yeah.
So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, well, who's Phil Raya? That's what I call. And then they're going to know who Scott is. Then they're going to know who The Rant is and who The Wizards are and who Talk Brunch is and who everybody else is. Because once they click us, they're going to get everybody else.
Yes, sir.
And that's the way you do it. You network. That's yes, the way sir. You do it. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. I appreciate your shooting on that, and I appreciate your support. So that's cool.
Yeah. One person who I am so happy didn't make the fucking list as someone who was in the business is Vince fucking Russo.
Yeah.
And he made a statement this week that really fucking pulled at my ass hairs.
Scott has a lot of ass hairs, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to get cursed. I'm okay. So
no,
sorry.
It's okay. He knows. He knows that we curse, but he knows he can't say none of that stuff. He knows.
Okay, he's a big boy. Sorry, Mike, but yeah. Just please roll with it.
It's okay. Go ahead.
We won't tell mama.
No,
okay.
We won't tell mama.
Vince Russo made a statement saying that David Arquette was more over than Kevin Owens will ever be.
Yee.
By the way, congrats to Kevin Owens.
My kid's shaking his head.
Even he knows.
Of course he knows.
And if he was 18, he'd drop an F-bomb on you. Yeah, because Phil taught him right.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so that really got to me. That really, like, it trapped me, man. How are you going to say this guy has been over every single place he's gone? Whether it's been ROH, New Japan, PWG, everywhere he's been a champion. People cheer his name, love or hate him. In our semi-small poll, he was the one picked to win the Universal Championship on Raw that night.
Well, I can tell you this. Cornette said he made a statement too and was like, you know, he wishes him congratulations, but because I don't watch any of the product. You know what? I'm so sick of these guys being bitter about something that they no longer have any control over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
On top of that, and I got involved in this, I shouldn't have. Kenny Bolin. Remember Star Maker,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kenny is best friend, Mr. Bolin. I call him Mr. B. He's an older guy. So Mr. B is he's a Facebook friend of ours. He's a friend. He called into The Rant a few times. He's Jim Cornette's best friend. And he was the manager of John Cena and all those other guys in OVW, right? He's a friend of The Rant. He calls in. He has his own podcast, The Bolin Alley. I'm giving you the cheap plug because he went on his fucking podcast page and was like, well, I got that list too, and... You know, that list didn't have – some of these shows have no business being on there. So I wrote, not for nothing, I know 3 or 4 shows on there who are doing amazing things and they get a lot of notoriety and they belong on that list. And then he sends me – he crops a picture of his download numbers. And I wanted to embarrass him and be like, if I showed him Don Tony and Kevin Castle's numbers – or Solo Monster's numbers, or Kevin Gill's numbers, he would probably be humbled. People who are not in the public eye anymore in wrestling have a really bad case of the wah, of the haters, of the hold on, why are you banging my table over there, Sparky? You know.
And what do you know? We got a couple of haters.
Yeah, and
couple of haters.
Right, and I just don't get it. I don't get the logic. you know, finish your point with Vince Russo.
Like you said, these people just want to hold on and make themselves relevant. We haven't heard of Vince Russo. You know, he hasn't been brought up in the community in 3 weeks. He had to put his name out there somehow. How in the world are you ever going to say David Arquette was more over than Kevin Owens? I mean, because he was your idea to give him a belt? And then he was going on to say Kevin Owens didn't win it. It was scripted. Well, David Arquette didn't win it either. You gave it to him. You can't have it both ways, Vince. Shut the fuck up.
And with his bad press, he's gonna get people are gonna download it, and then they're gonna be like, "Freak this guy," you know? Yeah. Like I don't understand. Like, and then all our friend shows are gonna blow them out of the water.
Yep.
So whatever.
And he's not the worst one of this week to say something about Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
You heard about Mr. ESPN, Amin El-Hassan, right?
Yeah, he apologized, though. I think he – see, here's my thing. When you let ESPN cover WWE and they don't know about the product, then it becomes it has it leaves a bad cloud over that. So, yeah. So – but, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So for those of you who don't know, he came out and started in on Kevin Owens' kid. When Kevin Owens won the belt, his wife, Karina, I believe her name is?
Yeah.
Karina posted a video of his 8-year-old son being so happy for his dad winning the belt.
Yeah.
The kid said in the video, he's like, "I'm speechless. This is wonderful." Who wouldn't be happy for their dad, whether it's fake or not? You're top dog. Mikey, if Mikey wasn't happy, if it was you, that'd be, you know, why?
Especially
who wouldn't be happy?
Especially if my picture was on his lunchbox.
Right?
You know?
If my kid became champion, I'd be happy knowing what I know.
Of course.
Because you know why? It's years of dedication and hard work that make you proud to call him dad. That's why he's speechless and happy. You know, so back off the kid, and you know what? Pick on the adult. Don't shoot on the kid. Pretty much, you know.
He apologized, and rightfully so. I think again, they don't deserve to give these guys their due diligence until they do their homework. I don't care if it's scripted or not. You should know what you're talking about. When Mano Ronaldo got hired to do SmackDown and to do NXT, whatever he was doing. The Cruiserweight Classic thing,
right?
The guy came in with knowledge. When Channel 11 locally here, the morning anchorman Scott Stanford,
right?
When he does wrestling interviews, he works for the company. He's a fan. He's a New Yorker. He's a fan. More importantly, before he's a journalist, I think I'm not saying you have to become a fan, Scott. I'm saying you should just do your homework.
Know your product.
Yeah, know your product. You know, you're not going to do – it's not like you walk in and do a commercial for aspirin. I'm not saying you have to take the aspirin, but read the script first. You know, so.
Yeah.
That's my point. So.
Yeah, but big, big congrats once again to Kevin Owens. Always been a – you know, I haven't watched much of his stuff in the indies, but since I started watching him, he's definitely been a favorite. The guy could works – cuts promos in ring, out of ring. He's great.
Well, you know, here in the Decadone, we're big fans of Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen. We've been fans for like the last 4 or 5 years. We've seen him live. We've seen him in 3 different promotions before WWE. So we know his potential. I think, and people were giving me shit about this the other day on the Don Tony show, I thought Triple H coming in now and interfering brings a whole new light to this storyline. Because now it puts a wedge between him and Stephanie, between Mick Foley. It now could reunite part of the Shield. It could, you know, make Seth Rollins a face, which they wanted to do in the beginning, but they didn't, which was stupid. When he came back, he should have.
Yeah.
Right? And then, you know, it's, I don't know. I think it's going to be fun. And he does deserve it. The guy came in. Won a belt his first 2 weeks in the company. He's had a belt. He's had a belt almost his entire run in this promotion, outside of a couple of months.
And he didn't have the belt, he was fighting for the belt.
Right. So he was NXT champ. He was IC champ. He was U.S. champ, right?
No, two-time IC.
Two-time IC champ. And now he's world champion.
Yeah.
I don't care what he did in the Indies in terms of, you know, I liked his run, his last run, and people gave me shit. I was telling this to guys a couple weeks ago when we were walking to NXT. I thought his stuff with Mike Bennett was awesome. Mm-hmm. His stuff with Generico was amazing. His stuff with the Bucks and Adam Cole as the Mount Rushmore guys in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, I thought that was fantastic. Anything, like Scott said, anything he did, you know, was gold. Was gold. I mean, he could talk, he can wrestle. Why? Because he looks like a truck driver? Who gives a shit? Dusty Rhodes looks like a friggin' plumber.
Yeah, look at fucking Yokozuna.
That's what I'm saying. It's not about the look anymore. It's about who you are.
It's about the dedication and the work you put into it to be what you are.
The guy's a machine, dude.
Yeah.
The guy's a machine. Oh, please stop. The internet wrestling community, stop. Let the guy breathe. The guy's good.
Yeah. He's so good that next week he's going to be main eventing in London in a triple threat match, defending his Universal title against Zayn and Rollins.
Yeah.
And added to that card is Sasha Banks. She's being advertised for the upcoming Manila tour and advertised for this event in London next Wednesday, facing Charlotte in a rematch for the title.
Nature Boy in the chat room, I'd rather see Roman Reigns as champ. KO will not put butts in the seats. I'm going to be honest with you, buddy. No one's putting asses in the seats anymore. It's not that kind of crowd anymore. You don't get any kind of a sellout crowd unless it's WrestleMania. I haven't seen a sold-out arena. And we were at NXT and they weren't even sold out. They told you they were sold out, but there were like at least 1,500 seats there empty.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less.
There were like five seats and our section empty.
Right, but there were seats all over the place. No one's putting asses in the seats anymore. No one. It's about merch. It's about talent in the ring, and it's about what they want in the back. It's no longer the, well, this guy's on the card, they're going to put asses in the seats.
Yeah, it's not like they're paying to see The Rock or Stone Cold like they did 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, when I buy a ticket now, you know, unless it's NXT, but if I buy a ticket, I'm not saying, well, I'm here to see John Cena anymore. You know, back in the day, you wanted to see Hogan. You wanted to see Andre. You wanted to see The Rock. You wanted to see Austin. Or Undertaker. There's no more marquee guys anymore. You have top guys, and that's it. That's it. There's no more like, this guy's going to put S's in the seats. Not happening no more. No one's doing that. You can't promote that no more because wrestling's not mainstream anymore. I hate to break that to the public. Wrestling is not mainstream. Wrestling is for the diehards and for the last of us, the older people.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. Speaking of asses and seats, Mexico's greatest export has been exported. Del Rio is no longer with the WWE. He was released on Tuesday. They worked out the release because he was going to opt out in October, so they just said, see you later. Why pay you for another 5 weeks?
Hasta la vista, baby. Yeah.
And it's rumored that the WWE was trying to break him and Paige up, that they did not want them together, that them being on separate shows was by design, and the company did not want them together. And they threatened to fire Paige if she did not break up with Del Rio, is one of the reports.
It's a good question, Matt Squires. Why is it so hard to be just happy for a guy and for some change?
Because people have to get their shit out there.
Yeah.
What better way than getting a name out there than to shit on somebody that just won something and get people in a tizzy?
Thank you, Scott.
Go back and listen to the first 10 minutes of the show. We explained it all.
That one time where I sat in NXT and I sat behind two 20-year-olds and all they do is talked about people's costumes and work rate. I don't discuss work rate at a house show or an event. I'm there to look at the event. I'm there to enjoy the event with my friends, with my kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why. people. That's why it's hard for people just to be happy for a guy, because nobody can just be happy. People have to nitpick on every single thing and be upset at the world. Get over yourselves.
Yep.
If you want it to where it used to be, go back and watch it on the network. Mm-hmm. Pull out your old VHS tapes. Go play a video game. Go pull out the magazines or listen to this show. Or do all three and you'll be fine. You'll be set for the rest of your life. I have 189 fucking episodes backed up on this, and I have a ton of stuff that we talked about from 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago that I definitely can guarantee you that will definitely get your rocking chairs going, right, from Mario, Wario? I get it. I get it, man. I get it. We're old. I get it. We're middle-aged and crazy. Get it. Got it. Good. I'm accepting it, and there's nothing like the golden age. There'll never be nothing like it again. There'll nothing be like the Attitude Era. This whole new era has to be, embraced a certain way in order for you to get your point across. Now that's how it's going to go down. So, carry on, Kid Human.
Speaking of breakups, and CM Punk and Colt Cabana are no longer friends. They're no longer following each other on Twitter. Colt Cabana appeared at a Raw taping a couple of weeks ago backstage and took pictures with some of the guys, and CM Punk took offense to this because both of them have a defamation suit against the WWE,
which may not happen till 2018, and now I really hope CM Punk gets his face caved in next week.
Right now he is, if we're in a lawsuit against him, I understand his point. If we're in a lawsuit against him, why are you hanging out with them?
Well, technically they're suing the doctor, they're not suing the company.
Yeah.
So technically he can go backstage. Maybe the guy wants a job. Maybe the guy is sick of flying all over the world getting pennies when he can make a million or two. Maybe he wants to better his life like CM Punk did. I have to back Cabana on this. You know, your friend's not, you're going to stop being a friend of me for 20 years. I want a job. It's like, you know, I can't, you know, if you were suing the WWE, that's fine. But you're suing the doctor. You're not suing the WWE. So there's the difference. And I think just, I don't know. It's just, it's stupid. CM Punk needs to get over himself and get his face caved in next week at UFC.
Right? Yeah, Zaniac is going to that.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. And flying all over the world takes us to our next NXT takeover that is going to be in Canada. It's going to be the night before the Survivor Series, Saturday, November 19th. Tickets go on sale Friday, September 23rd.
This is when they should bring back James Storm to go against Bobby Roode.
What about Bobby Roode fighting Nakamura?
Ooh. But what they should do instead of Bobby Roode against Nakamura, they should get like another Canadian wrestler and put him against Bobby Roode. Since it's in
Eric
Canada.
Young is rumored to be close to signing.
Yeah, EY might be there. But you wouldn't want to see Nakamura fight Bobby Roode. That's your boy, man. That'd be a nice show.
Yes,
but you know what match is going to happen, right, Mikey?
What? No.
Austin Aries.
Oh, Aries versus Kenta? I mean, Hideo Itami?
Yes. I will believe that is the night that match will take place.
Really?
When's it's not. Nothing is signed. Nothing's official. That's my prediction. That is the night that match will take place.
Is that the next takeover?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's right the day after Mommy's birthday. Yeah.
Don't be you on
the 19th, you said, Scott?
Yes, it's Saturday, November 19th, Sunday, November 29th, and 21st is Raw. So they're all in the Air Canada Center in Toronto, it says.
Survivor
just like
Series.
SummerSlam weekend, they're having the whole weekend of shows in one spot.
If that wasn't Mommy's birthday, I'd go to Canada that weekend. Don't tell Mommy that, though.
How about you surprise her with a trip to Canada that weekend?
I don't think my wife wants to go watch wrestling for her birthday. However.
Yeah. Hey, it's like when Homer Simpson bought the bowling ball for Marge and had Homer engraved on it.
Hockey night in Canada or NXT takeover? Either way, Joshy, I'm good, man. I love me some hockey.
Hey, if Don Cherry's hosting, I'm there.
Don Cherry should be referee with his... with his awful suits.
So, Bo Dallas.
Oh, Bo, poor Bo.
Poor Bo. We all know the story by now that he was drunk on the plane, yelled obscenities at everybody, and walked off and got arrested.
Yep. And wasn't he singing the Lion King song?
Yes, he was singing The Circle of Life.
I should have queued that up. Hold on a minute. Go ahead, keep talking.
So Dave Meltzer is reporting that he is still employed by the WWE. He is he has been punished, but no word was given on what the punishment is. He's still scheduled to face off against Bin Wang, in the WWE debut on September 10th in Shanghai.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so was it Wang Bin? You put that in the Wang Bin.
You know the words, huh? Oonga boonga. Anyway, I'm going to this rock for a minute. Oh, boy. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kid Human. I'm sorry.
All right. The last big thing this week did cause a lot of controversy on social media once again. It's that time of year where our favorite edition of PWI comes out. And it was leaked or put out that Roman Reigns is number one out of 500 people.
And rightfully so. I've been reading the magazine since 1984, okay? And it's the same criteria. Roman Reigns has done more from July of last year to July of this year than any other competitor in the business right now.
Right. I have it listed right here. He won the championship 3 times, beat Triple H at what they call the biggest WrestleMania ever. From November to June, he was the top star and most consistent headliner. By the criteria used to rank, he is number one. But also in that time, he got caught with the wellness policy.
Even with the month off, the guy did more in a year.
Right, but the thing is, he got caught on June 21st.
Right.
So, my point is, based upon what he did as accomplishments, I understand your ranking system. You can't argue that. But you have to deduct points for that.
They probably did, but honestly, who else? Do you have the top 10? I don't have the top 10.
I have the top 11, actually.
Give me 2 to 10.
I'm going to go, it's Okada is next.
Okay.
Finn Balor.
Okay.
AJ.
Okay.
Jay Lethal.
Okay.
Kevin Owens.
Fine.
Nakamura.
Okay.
Rollins.
Who was hurt. Okay.
Ambrose.
Okay.
And there was a tie for 10.
Who was tied for 10?
John Cena and Drew Galloway.
Now, you take all the Japan guys, they work a different schedule.
Yes.
Okada gets the rub. I think he won the belt twice in a year. I'm not sure, guys. If you can help me out in the chat room, I'm not going to look it up.
Where's Greg?
Yeah, Greg would know this. Greg
fucking Japanese.
Yeah. And
didn't appear, so those aren't the magic words.
Yeah. However, again, that's how they base it on. They base it on what you've done in their calendar year, which was July to July. Okay.
Yep, I know July 1st to June 30th.
I know people don't like him. I know you don't like him. I know a lot of people don't like him. However, when John Cena was getting this rub and CM Punk was getting this rub, they were doing the same thing. I'm like, you guys don't get it. Like, it's what you do. And you're working for the biggest. That you know, this isn't like Okada winning the belt twice in a year in Japan when you wrestle, you know, twice a month. This dude's wrestling 300 times a year.
Yeah.
And he's doing it big for the big boys, for the big dogs, every night on TV, every week. On 3 different, 4 different shows. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you can hate the guy all you want, but that's the, and it's a kayfabe magazine. Like, people were really upset. Like, people, even in the rant room, were like, oh, this is ridiculous. What about so and so? What about so and so? What did they do in their calendar year that Roman Reigns didn't do? They didn't do
the
enough.
The only one out of that top 10, like, you can make an argument for is Owens. Because going back to what you said, he debuted and beat Cena in his first match.
Yeah.
He won the IC belt twice. He's headlined the pay-per-views.
Unfortunately, though, with that list, you had Balor, you had Okada, you had guys over him.
AJ and Jay Lethal. And
that's the thing, too, though. Jay Lethal should be number three.
Jay Lethal should be number one, but he doesn't do that many pay-per-views.
He doesn't. They don't travel that much. They don't travel that much. And he had the belt. First of all, he had the belt almost all year. Then he won the TV title for a couple of months. So
he's had gold for 3 years until last month.
Right. So technically he should be. Well, he was in the top five, right?
He's number four. Okay. No, he's number five. Sorry.
Yeah, he should be in the top five. Yeah. PWI doesn't mean the same thing it was when we were kids. Actually, Wario, it does. But you know who ruins it? The internet. I love this conversation. I had a philatorial about it last year. Because the PWI, for me, the 500, is a credit to what the guy's doing. Now, there's rumors that people want to get ranked. They mail in like a money order or whatever it is. Like, there were a couple indie guys on my feed that posted stuff. Listen, I don't want to comment on that because I don't think that's true. But these guys know it better. Maybe they know better than I do. I don't know. But there's a reason why, you get ranked because you get recognized. And the indie feds are getting recognized now. Back in the day, you wouldn't get a Ring of Honor ranking like that.
Nope.
10 years ago, 15 years ago, even before, when Ring of Honor first started, you wouldn't see a Ring of Honor champion in the top 10. You wouldn't see Beyond or Dragon Gate or Evolve or Chikara. You wouldn't see any of those.
Or Lucha Underground.
Or Lucha Underground. You wouldn't see any of those guys.
And just for shits and giggles, Lucha Underground had their first input at number 15 with Ricochet, who's also Prince Puma.
Yeah, who tapes, they tape 6 weeks of shows in 3 days.
But he also goes around and works the other the indies as well.
Right, he works Japan.
He works Chikara and Evolve,
and,
I believe.
And yeah, so if he won belts and he was that active, then if he was more active than – no one was more active than Roman Reigns, bottom line. Nobody had a tougher schedule than Roman Reigns. So that's where they rank it. So I have no issue with it. I know a lot of guys do. It is what it is, but it's a good
– Here's a little private joke for me and you.
Okay.
Well, number 500, because everybody wants to know, is Timmy Lou Retton. He is listed as professional wrestling's only gymnast. Ooh. I looked up this motherfucker. Dude looks like Big E Light. He is cut. He's huge. And he's good. He looks like Big E, man. He Hello, reminded gorgeous. Me of Big E when I looked at him.
Hello, gorgeous.
Now, number 499. When I saw this name, I understand probably only you would get it tonight. The guy's name is Eric Eminon.
That was Pete Ross's band.
Justin Eminon.
Eminon is backwards for no name. My friend yes. Pete had – my son's looking at like I'm a retard. Scott and I have a friend, Pete, who – actually his brother-in-law is on my wall. He's a good friend of mine and Scott's too. He passed away, right? Pete yeah. and his sister Susan grew up with me in Ridgewood, okay? I still talk to Pete almost every day. Pete had a band called Eminon, and Eminon spelled backwards is no name. Get it? What's the term where something's spelled backwards and it means something and it doesn't matter. Yeah,
that's the difference if you get it an hour back.
Hour back, get it? Get it back hour. Anyway.
Now, I also have all 500 listed, but it's an alphabetical list and a picture of it that I found online. I will post it to the page later and you guys could go in there and look up who you want. It's a pain in the ass to look it up because of the way they color-coded the numbers black and gray. But
you should show Pete that picture.
I worked diligently to pull out the top 10 for you guys.
You should show Pete that picture of that dude, by the way. I'm sure you get a kick out of that.
Who, Timmy Lou Retton?
No, Pete Eminon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're friends with Pete on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Me and Pete, oh, man, we go.
You heard Pete's current band?
Yes, I have. They're pretty damn good.
Oh, my God. Pete's literally Godmaker, the name of the band. Oh, man.
I was sitting in a kitchen with Pete, all fucked up, Motherfucker took an empty Nestle's Quick can, put three rubber bands on it, and played fucking guitar.
Yeah, Pete. Pete's
is pretty, a talented Pete, son of a bitch.
Pete's pretty amazing. He's a good dude, too. Very cool dude.
And our friend, did you watch the CWC this week?
No, I saw the highlights. I didn't see the whole thing.
Our other friend, Mike Palmer, made a nice quote on Facebook.
That guy. Yeah, I'm trying to get Palmer on the show, by the way. I'm working on
it. I would love to have Palmer on the show.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We just have to find a night to get him on. But go ahead.
Oh, he just made a comment about Daniel Bryan at the end of the CWC.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw that.
You know, Mike Palmer, I remember one night going to the bar on Halloween, and he walked in with a pair of glasses with the tape in the middle. He's like, I'm Bubba Ray Dudley. Bubba Ray Dudley, way back in the 90s.
I like Mike's alter ego, Facci Fugazi.
Oh, my God.
Guys, go on YouTube. Look up Facci Fugazi. It's hysterical.
Okay, so that's what the news I have. But, yeah, I mean, I can't disagree by their rankings. Like you said, it's how they do it. It's a point system. It works for them.
People aren't. Everybody doesn't like Roman Reigns. I get why he people in the chat room too. He's getting pushed way too soon. I get it. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I don't have an issue with him like you guys do. I see the purpose in him the same way I saw it with The Rock. The same way I saw it with certain other guys in the NWA. Like, I was never a big Magnum TA guy, but I knew why they were pushing him. I was never a big Nikita Koloff guy, but I knew why they were pushing him. Like, I see the purpose. Sandman, Tommy Dreamer, wasn't a big fan of these guys, but I knew why they were getting pushed. So I'm not ignorant in terms of that. However, you know, you have to go with the times. And it's called a homonym. Thank you, Matt Squires. A homonym. When something spelled backwards, the same thing as something spelled
forward.
That's not a homonym.
That's not a homonym.
No.
A homonym a homonym is something that...
Like there, there, and there.
Yeah, that's a homonym. That's a homonym. All right, forget about the... No more English lessons. I'm tired.
This ain't school.
This ain't school, son. Are we done
with... Well, it's not even Sunday school, but we got a pastor in the room.
Ah, Pastor Sidell is in there. My man, Pastor.
Jesus!
Yeah, and JC, baby.
Jesus Christ is my nigga.
That's right. Okay.
All right.
Are we done with the news or?
Yeah, I got no. That's the you biggest had, news stuff I found this week. It was slow, but it was
no.
Big
it was
stuff.
Plenty. It was plenty. We have plenty of news. We have
one thing we didn't cover.
Uh oh. What's that?
Mr. Fuji.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna do a tribute, but I already did one, so I figured I didn't want to inundate you guys. But yeah. Yeah, Mr. Fuji passed away last Sunday. I'm going to actually post Fuji Vice and all that stuff. 82 years old, 5-time world tag team champion. The biggest ribber in the business, apparently. He pulled ribs that were legendary, allegedly.
Cat's head in a stew?
Yeah, cat's head in a stew. Our friend Tom Buchanan, who's a photographer, he stole his car keys. And, like, I mean, the man was amazing. 2007 Hall of Famer. You know, I mean, I can go on and on and on and on. I didn't put any audio together because I was just so inundated with work after Monday. I was just a busy bee. But, you know, maybe, you know what? Maybe I'll put audio on the download. So.
Well, yeah, we got that. I sent you that audio.
Yeah, you want me to play that for the download or?
Well, yeah, you can put that on the download. That's fine.
Then we could just, you know, because you have music to it and stuff. I didn't want
to. I didn't add music to it. No,
you
I couldn't
didn't
get it to record.
No, but I can add it to I can add what you gave me to the download.
Yep.
This way we can, you know, because I didn't play it when we opened up. So I played Madball because it's my man Hoya's birthday today. Hoya from Madball, the bass player, good friend of mine. Happy birthday to him and the whole Madball crew. They're touring the West Coast now, so they're doing some new stuff. So I'm happy about that. Yeah. So you get the Fuji tribute on the download. So, no big deal. I just didn't do it, so I apologize to you.
Ah, no big deal.
I just, you know, again, I'm just too inundated with work and shit.
It's fine.
Fuji General, Fuji Vice. There was a bunch of Fuji skits. My favorite Fuji moment. You have a Fuji moment? You have a favorite one?
Oh, I just love watching him throw salt in people's eyes and smacking them with the cane and hooking the leg just walking past. Yoink.
I like when he's telling Demolition, he's like, You listen to me, I'm the master. You listen to me, give much pain. My favorite Fuji moment was in Madison Square Garden. It was a karate match between Ricky Steamboat and the Magnificent Morocco. And they jumped Ricky Steamboat and they hung him. They lynched him.
Yes, I remember that.
With the karate belt, the gi. So that was my favorite Mr. Fuji moment. At that, when he ran a marathon on the boardwalk at WrestleMania, but he cheated. They were running. He cheated.
How?
He took a cab. So, and he left the race and took a cab to the finish line. So, okay. I think we're done. Are you done with your news there, Kid Human?
Yes, I am.
Okay, do you have Facebook open?
I have the questions pulled up and ready to go.
Are you ready to play Mikey's music?
Play Mikey's music.
Yeah, 30 seconds is way too long for you. I gotta cut that. It is another segment of Ask Mikey. I want to thank the three people this week who gave questions for Mikey. Mikey took the time to answer every question, wrote them down, so he's not doing it by memory this time. So he can answer every question without saying we'll get back to you. Okay.
Good stuff.
So Scott, why don't you read Mikey's first question and he'll answer it.
From Nick German.
Nick German Suplex, who helped us a lot today. And I'll get into that before we go to break. Go ahead.
Do you think the WWE did a good job with the draft, specifically having two tag team divisions and two women's divisions? If you could do it over, would you have tag teams on one brand and women on the other?
No.
Okay.
No, well, to watch.
No to everything.
No to having the tag teams and women on separate divisions.
So you would have one women's champion, one tag team champion, and defend them on both brands?
Yeah.
Okay. They did that for a while.
Yes.
And answer your question. What'd you write down? Read what you wrote.
Yes and no. What I don't understand, if Eva Marie is all red everything, she should be on Raw, not SmackDown.
God, give it to the kid there.
That was your question? That was your answer for question one?
Yeah.
Okay. Question two.
Okay. Clean and respectable questions. Are those directed at Jason Grooms?
Yes. No. Yes. And two other people. Two other people. We won't mention any more names.
Right. We'll just.
I didn't want to tag anybody with that, but yeah.
From Uncle Tank.
Yeah.
A fatal four-way match for the Universal title. Lesnar, Balor, Nakamura, and Joe. Who wins and why?
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Nakamura wins? Do you have to talk into the microphone?
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay.
And why?
And why?
Because he would go after one of the big guys, Joe and Lesnar. And if he chooses Joe, let Finn Balor go after Lesnar on, the outside.
Yeah.
And, keep on beating down Joe. And once Finn Balor and Brock Lesnar are, both down on the outside, if, Finn Balor gets, a suicide dive, Shinsuke would have the opportunity to go for the Kinshasa. So he will do the Kinshasa onto Samoa Joe and win.
Okay. So he's going to isolate Joe and get the win? Okay, that's fair.
There you go.
That's
nice fair. Nice booking.
All right, there you go. He planned it out, man. He was meticulous tonight.
Did you play it on WWE 2K16?
I wanted to, but I didn't.
Okay, with the recent tag team tournament on SmackDown, Baza Smith wants to know, who would be your eight teams from any promotion for a tournament?
Before we do that, in your best British accent, say, Hey, Bazza, you slag. Just do it.
Why?
Because it's funny. Do it.
Why?
Because I want you to.
So what do I say?
In your British accent, say, hey, Bazza, you slag.
Hey, Bazza, you slag.
Love it. All right. So, go ahead, Ant. So, you have 8 teams from any promotion, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he even wrote the brackets. Okay. Go ahead.
So, first up...
Talking to the mic.
So, first up, the Briscoe Bros.
Yeah.
Against DIY.
Okay, I like that.
Which would have been a good match in, like, ROH.
It would have been a good match in NXT. The Briscoes can hang, right?
It'd be a good match on a street corner.
Good match in the back of the supermarket, right?
Yep.
Back at a Walmart in the produce
aisle. Price tag on the jackass.
Price tag on the jackass. What? Go ahead, I'm sorry. Finish, brother.
Next, we have the Authors of Pain.
Yeah.
With Paul Ellering.
Against?
Versus Hanson and Rowe.
Whoa, I like that.
That's a good matchup.
Yeah. Go ahead, carry on, brother.
Next, we have Moose and Mike Bennett with Maria.
Oh, he likes this team for some reason.
Against Gallows and Anderson.
Oh, very nice.
So, Anderson could see Maria again.
Oh, yeah, Anderson's got to love Jones for Maria, yeah. Okay, is that it?
And then our last match would be Red Dragon against the New Day. New Day.
Red Dragon, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly versus the New Day.
I'm down for that. Fighting, you know who was left out?
Fighting for the New Day would be Biggie and Kofi Kingston.
Okay. What was that, Scott?
You know who got left out?
Who's that?
I figured it would be in there. The Bucks.
The Bucks, American Alpha. Yeah. The couple teams I would put in there. I would put the Motor City Machine Guns.
The Addiction.
All Night Express. Well, they call them the Cabinet now.
Yes.
With the third guy. Stop with that bottom. It's annoying. Thank you. But yeah, I mean, he picked 8 teams. So there you go. That's not bad. Bad. Oh, I can't even talk tonight. That's not bad.
Who would you pick to win it?
Who would win a tournament?
It would be.
That's tough.
I'm going to go with the Authors of Pain.
To win the tournament?
Yeah.
Who are they beating in the finals?
So once they beat Hanson and Rowe, everyone knows, except for Gallows and Anderson, they could, like, throw around because...
They're big?
Yeah.
Wow, he's really... He's on this train with me with the Authors of Pain, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, I would sit there and say I would make the finals, the Authors of Pain against the club.
That's what I would do.
That's got New Japan written all over it.
Yes, it does.
That's a stiff. That's a Japanese stiff. 7,000 pounds of slab beef match.
It's got Mikey Fugazi written all over it.
Mikey Fugazi over here, me get a buzzer now. Away.
We have a late entrance for a question from a Matt Squires.
Matt Squires has a question.
He just texted me. He would like to know what historical figure Mikey would team up with if he could perform a tag team.
Historical figure?
Yes.
Oh. See, I would pick Abe Lincoln because he's to hunt vampires.
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
You can go with George Washington because he fought the demons in.
Teddy Roosevelt wanted to be a wrestler. He wanted to be George Hackenschmidt.
Yeah.
Who'd you team up with? Anybody from history.
Anybody. Anybody. Hamilton.
Alexander Hamilton. Okay.
There you go.
There you go.
We were joined by Surfer in the chat room. What's up, son?
Thank you, sir. All right, Mikey, thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you, Mikey.
Goodbye.
Peace out.
Enjoy your evening.
All right. There he is. 9-year-old matchmaker of the year.
You damn right.
Jesus.
Hey, Vince Russo, listen to the kid and learn something.
Someone's listening to this podcast is going to hear that and go, wow. That kid's got some good parents.
And he's only 9.
And he's only 9. Gotta go play in traffic.
No, gotta get that last word in.
Don't go play in traffic. I'm only joking. Never mind. Don't listen to me. Give the kid the book. That's right. Thank you,
yes,
Wario.
Sir.
Thank you, Wario. You see Wario's his gift there with the Carlton dancing?
Yes.
Is that genius?
Yep. The Christmas wreaths behind him.
That dude makes me smile.
American
man.
Flag shirt.
He's got the best screen name and the best gift going right now. All right. I think that's it. We're going to take a quick break.
You said you wanted to do something before the break.
Did I?
Plug a show? Talk about something?
Oh, yeah. Listen, without getting into crazy details, there's a kid that's on our group page. His name is Marvin. He posts a lot of stuff on the Throwbacks page, and he did some stuff with the rant, too. And he's been missing. A couple of guys reached out to me. They haven't heard from him. He hasn't posted anything since early August. And apparently he wasn't in a good place. So I did some homework. I got some help behind the scenes from our wonderful, wonderful friends. I won't mention names because I'll get some people in trouble. But they are authority figures. And they confirmed that he is definitely still alive, but he's MIA. So we hope that he's doing okay. We hope that he's in a good place, and if he's listening, to please, I'll open the phone lines for you. I'll open the Skype for you. He has the number. He has our Facebook information. Please reach out to us, and hopefully you're okay, Marvin.
Yeah, big Marv, you know, check in, man. Let us know you're all right. Definitely miss you around. Marvin Duenas?
Yeah, Duenas, yeah.
I'm sorry, I couldn't
do that. Yeah, no, that's fine, that's fine. There's only one Marvin.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to do this on the show, but I was inundated with this like almost the entire day, and I was behind the scenes talking to people, and like within 10 minutes, I found out his phone number, I found out where he lived, and all this other shit, because I have people who do that kind of thing, and I appreciate them, and they know who they are, and I hope he's listening, I hope he hears our podcast, I hope he takes my Facebook messages. So, and that's pretty much it. That's what I want to do.
Okay.
All right. So, you want to grab a smoke?
I want to grab a smoke, grab a drink.
Yeah, do that. We have a nice little throwback for you. Nothing crazy, but a little throwback, a little New York throwback for you.
Yeah.
A little New York flavor.
A little New York, New Jersey connection.
That's right. And I want to thank everybody in the chat room tonight. I want to thank Mikey. We'll plug everything at the end of the night. And we'll be right back. We have a kick-ass throwback for you tonight. So
take it away, Lord Alfred, on double duty tonight.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, you. Thank you so much for downloading this. We really appreciate it. Please continue to support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast by going to iTunes and Stitcher and leaving a review. Go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com, get all of our back catalog as well as all of our friend shows. Go to rantemradio.com. Click on the live link every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, all of our friends' shows over there as well. We have 4 different T-shirts. You want to rock our gear? Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Get the fresh gear right now. Of course, as always, thank you so much for supporting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate it, and we love you all. Peace.
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. 4 hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android. Or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Hey, you. Yeah, you over there. If you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30-rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, the Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you.
Stop now. Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe!
He
said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog, but I'm saying.
Did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Natty is more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. You
yes, works.
That was all right. So disrespectful.
Alright.
Nah, I can't have you.
That's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Ike. Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
Trying to help out.
No, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
What's up, everybody? This is the Ace of Belts, Dave Milliken, WWE Beltmaker. You're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Podcast.
One man gang, the big 747, will get tested to the fullest. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Hooper Davis from Asbury Park, New Jersey, weighing 393 pounds. Bam!
You know what I call these two? The ugly twins.
Well,
I certainly hope that they did some reinforcing on the ring. Look at the determined look on the kisser of Bam Bam Bigelow. Well, you know, when these two guys get in there, Gorilla, there's going to be more than 800 pounds in that ring at one time. Slickster. Down there as well. I guess Slickster's not too happy about the ring result.
He's not happy about what?
The natural.
Oh, definitely.
That's the closest I can get to the music. When it's first, they don't have like a clear version of it, so. But they had this jazzy fucking music for him. But we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, RantEMRadio.com.
We are back.
That's right. I'm enjoying some chocolate ice cream.
Oh, man, ice cream. We had a pizza and ice cream lunch today.
A pizza and ice cream social.
Yes.
We had pot pies today for dinner.
And I mean, it was Domino's pizza. And you mix that with dairy. Let's just say the coffee was brewing a few hours later, fellas.
Scott got multiple visits from Mr. Poopies.
Well, yeah, you got to do it upright. You take an ice cream sandwich and you smother it with hot fudge and caramel sauce and chocolate chips and whipped cream.
That's a fat bastard special right there.
Damn right. I can't eat regular ice cream, like a half gallon of it, like plain vanilla or plain chocolate anymore. Ugh, just up that.
Well, I'm lucky because they have like, they'll mix vanilla now with like these different flavors, like moose tracks and caramel swirl. So you're not just getting, like, I'm not going to lie to you. I like a plain vanilla once in a while, like a French vanilla or like, I like vanilla ice cream, period. However, they have like different versions of it now, and they're getting real fancy with it, man. Like
some waffle cone peanut butter cup.
That's what I had last week. I had waffle cone with vanilla and caramel swirl. I was like, forget about it. I almost popped the chubby.
Yeah,
but
those two motherfuckers from Vermont can make a good ice cream. I'll give them that.
Those guys too, but like even like the store bought, like the Stop and Shop or Turkey Hill or fucking.
20 years ago, we made fun of Turkey Hill ice cream, and you cheap motherfucker.
Yeah, right? But now it's like, two for six, and you're set for the rest of the month.
Yeah, that shit was like bodega ice cream years ago.
Now it's fucking top shelf.
Yep.
Who wants to pay $6 for Breyers? Suck my asshole. I'm not doing that.
No, Blue Bunny? Good.
Did you have the Blue Bunny Red Velvet ice cream?
No, I have not.
Oh, man. I mean, you'll be pissing. You'll be shitting right. Red.
A few years back, I might have told you the story or said it on the air, but you're going to hear it again. A few years back, when I was working at Dish Network, there was customer service week, and they had like these eating contests. If you won your thing that you entered, you got to go to the finals. So I won mine, which was the pizza rolls. So the finals was like a half a gallon of ice cream to eat.
That was the final. So you ate the pizza rolls to get to the finals to eat the ice cream?
Yes.
Okay.
So it was like a half a gallon of ice cream, and I ate it in about 11, 12 minutes, something in that time frame. 45 minutes later, it came up as cold as it fucking went in. And that's why I cannot eat like plain vanilla and plain chocolate ice cream. So, like, you give me a drumstick, you give me an ice cream sandwich, I'm all over that shit. But you give me, like, a half a gallon of, like, regular vanilla ice cream, I'm throwing that shit in the trash.
You'd be like Bobby Heenan or Brian Pillman.
What the fuck are you doing?
Exactly.
Toasty! And he's done.
Yeah, I'm out for the count. I'll tap out on that.
And I said this to Rage 2 weeks ago. We were talking about, Mega Slam. And I was like, right. Dude, fat people can't really win eating contests. Me and you are fat bastards, but like, I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying most fat guys cannot win. It's not physically, just because we're fat bastards don't mean we can eat like fat bastards all the time,
Right.
I feel like these skinny guys with the fucking, with the race, with the, roadrunner metabolism, or like the Joey Chestnuts of the world,
And that freaking Japanese, Chinese guy, the Asian dude, what's his name?
Kobayashi? Yeah, man. Listen, I had pizza rolls today on the way home from the Walmart. I stopped at the Quick Check to get gas, and they make pizza rolls now. I'm like, this is
wow.
Dumb. Yeah. So me and the kid had a little, with some pretzels. I was like, forget about it. See, depending on what time of month it is, you can get the wife involved too. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like, so, what are you eating over there? It 28 days. It's like, no, I got to watch your weight. Then at that 28th day, you're like, oh, what are you eating?
It's like that movie, 28 Days Later.
Exactly. So, I ain't mad at you, man. You did well. You did me proud. You did me proud, man. I ain't even mad at you.
So, yeah, I mean, the key to winning that ice cream thing was I drank warm, flat Mountain Dew to nullify brain freeze.
Oh, I had Mountain Dew today, too. I had Diet Mountain Dew from the fountain.
Yeah, that's what I drink, Diet Mountain Dew. That was a fountain soda from Sheetz.
That's a fine establishment.
Sheetz is good stuff. Sheetz is the shits.
If I ever make it out there down there to visit you, which I probably will eventually.
We'll pitch a tent. We'll just camp out in the back.
We're just going to go to Sheetz and take the laptop and do a podcast from Scott's backyard.
Yep.
We're going to buy all the Sheetz snacks.
We're going to have some gobs, some donuts, some friggin'.
Yeah,
well, I got Mallow cups in the freezer. 49 cents for the big pack at the store today. Yeah, you can't say no to that. Oh, so, I'm going to fucking get need new pants by Monday.
You ain't not lying. You are not lying. But the guys...
I might end up like one of our contestants tonight.
Well, that's what I'm going to say. The guys who are involved in this throwback tonight are definitely heavyweight contenders. Here's the thing, man. I went to Madison, and you guys know all my story. I went to Madison Square Garden almost monthly from 1985 to 1989. In that time, I probably saw every major angle with a feud. Everything you saw on TV or a pay-per-view or a special event, I saw like either the remains of that or the beginning of it or right smack dab in the middle of it. Okay. The greatest part about seeing these things monthly was I didn't have cable. If you had cable, they showed these things once a month on cable. If you had a rich relative with a satellite dish, which I did in Long Island, you could sneak out there once in a while when you didn't go to the matches and watch these things on the Madison Square Garden network. They had their own channel. That even back then they had their own channel. Before they were on regular cable and before the Yankees were on there, before they got their own network.
Yeah.
And the Rangers as well. Rangers are still on MSG. The Knicks are still on MSG. But, yeah, you know, you see what I'm talking about. They even share – MSG even shares their rights with the Devils and the Sabres and some other teams too. Now, my thing is that now around this time, I'm heavily invested. I'm about 14 years old. Going on 15, I am engulfed in wrestling. Like, my life evolved around the Aptamags, action figures, videotapes, rentals. Because, back in the day, you went to a video store. Every mom-and-pop video store had at least one or two wrestling tapes, sometimes even a dozen. I don't know, but I know your neighborhood had several videotape rentals places like mine.
Oh, yeah. 88th and Liberty. Yeah.
We lived
in that store.
We had Flash Video. We had Captain Video. We had Video on the Move. We had several places that rented videotapes. But the one tape I would always get, my first wrestling tape, was Andre the Giant. And you could still buy it on DVD for like $5. They put it on a DVD now. But for some reason, I grew an affection for Andre the Giant because of just if you see him in person, it is a spectacle. A spectacle. Say hello to Nick German. Nick German suplex in the room.
Nick.
Will Morgan from the Wrestling Call-In Show tomorrow night, 11 p.m.
What's up, Will?
Thank you guys for hanging out. This is cool. But I had a thing for Andre the Giant. If you saw him in person, if you ever got to see him in person, it was like it was a sight.
He was huge.
He was massive, Scott.
I don't know. My father's cousin worked in a restaurant around by the garden. And, you know, after the shows, they would all go in there. And he's like, they had a special stool in the back for Andre.
Yeah. I saw Andre at the garden, at the Coliseum, at the Old Meadowlands Arena, and at the Ridgewood Grove Arena, which is an old boxing arena that you hear Don Tony talk about all the time, or in Ridgewood, Queens, that they had wrestling there for a long, long time, from like the 50s to like the mid to late 80s. Okay. And I saw Andre there with Jimmy Snuka in 84. before I even started going to the house shows in the garden. So now, anytime I saw Andre was a party. Matter of fact, the first night I went to a live show at the garden, I saw Andre. he was around a lot.
Yep.
The heel turn for me was amazing because I was never a Hulk Hogan kid. I was the kid on the block who didn't like Hulk Hogan. Everybody else did. I was the kid who liked all the bad guys. So Andre, I just followed Andre. I was like, okay, Andre's with Bobby Heenan now. I have no problem with that. Andre goes bad. He wants Hogan's title. Tells one of the greatest stories in the ring ever. And he stays a bad guy for a while.
Yep.
Now, at this point, Andre is horribly out of shape. Like, after he lost to WrestleMania, remember he won the title.
Yeah.
And then he gave it to DiBiase. And then
DiBiase was stripped.
Right, and they had the tournament. And then he feuded with the Ultimate Warrior. And then he feuded with Jake the Snake and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Hercules and a couple other guys. But Andre lost a step, like several steps. Like, Andre wasn't the greatest of athletes in the ring as is. I mean, the stuff in Japan was good because he was younger.
Yeah. Nick, you missed out, man. He was great.
Yeah. It was, you know, you had to be, it was one of those things where you had to be there to see it. You go watch it on TV now, that's fine, but you had to be there to see it. So, at this point, like I said, I'm engulfed in the scene, right? And how it worked in Madison Square Garden and Nassau and the Meadowlands, and you've been to the shows when you were a kid, right?
Yeah.
So now,
all over, yeah. I just never went to the Meadowlands, but Coliseum. But you've been to the Coliseum. Yeah.
It was the same format. How it would work is you would have the main event of each card in the middle of the night.
Yep.
So how that would work is you would have the card. The main event would be in the middle of the night. And then you would have an intermission of 20 minutes or 15 minutes, depending on where you were.
It was halftime.
Halftime. So, and then when they would come back, the reason why they would have that half, the match before the half, is because now Howard Finkel would give you the announcement for next month.
Yep.
Like, especially if there was a feud, like Hogan and Savage. And next month it'll be in a steel cage. And you were like, what the fuck? And you'd mark out and go crazy and, you know, whatever. So
you'd pop. You definitely pop.
Oh, you're a kid, man. How I mean, this is your life, you know.
And you look at dad and be like, we're going, right? He'd be like,
yeah, yeah, my uncle runs to the box office with his American Express card and buys the same 12 seats for the rest of us, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then now you have a program with the match listing. On the back of the program, you're writing down what he's saying. And you're checking off who won and lost. So one particular night, I'm in the garden, and I can. It's funny because I can tell you what happened to me 25 years ago. I just can't tell you what happened to me 2 days ago. And I'm getting to that point now in my life where I have this long-term memory thing is great. My short-term memory is a shot to shit. I could tell you the night I heard the debut or the arrival of Scott Charles Bam Bam Bigelow, and I'll tell you how. I was with a friend and his dad. And I was having a really bad time at home with my mom's stepdad. And he was a fucking, like, a disgusting junkie. And he had one of his binges. And he was, like, just wrecking the house and looking for money to binge and do his coke thing and fucking yelling at my sisters and my mother and flipping out on me. And I, like, you know, stepped to him almost. I was fucking nuts as a kid. And he was a big dude, too. And I stepped to him. I was about to throw hands. And my buddy was like, yo, my dad's got tickets. He rings the bell. He's like, you know, he sees, like, the fight. He's like, come on, my dad's got tickets. We're going, you know, we're going. I was like, all right. So now I'm like, you know, I'm upset. You know, I'm crying. I'm in the car. We're driving to the city. And, like, I wasn't crying, but I was getting, like, that emotional, like, I can't believe this is happening to me. Like, I'm built up with emotion. And I got my friend's Pro Wrestling Illustrated in the back seat, so... Just trying to read it and get excited and who's fighting. And it was a good card. And we go for the break, and I go get a Ultimate Warrior. It was a squirt bottle, like one of those workout squirt, like the water bottles.
Yeah, like the water bottles.
Right. I used it for hockey practice. I went and got one of those for hockey practice. And I used it so much that at one point the color started coming off it. So I just taped it up like the hockey players do.
Right.
But I used it like for like three or four seasons after that. And it was like my, you know, my inspirational water, you know, jug, whatever it was, right? So I get my little water cooler thingy. I get my soda. I sit back down and just having a really shit day. And Howard Finkel gets on a microphone and says, you know, making his Madison Square Garden debut next month. Cause now he's announcing the next month's card. Bam, bam, Bigelow. And I was like, what the fuck? I just screamed like, what the fuck? And like the entire crowd just looked at him like, what are you doing? Nobody knew in the crowd who Scott Charles Bam Bam Bigelow was. The Beast from the East. They did not know who Scott Charles Bam Bam Bigelow was. They were casual wrestling fans all sitting around me. They just wanted to see their Hulk Hogan, drink their beer, and go back to their Wall Street job the next day. They're all in suits. And nobody cared. And I was like a child screaming. I was like at a New Kids concert. I was screaming. Like, I can't believe this. This is the greatest day of my life. I get to see the Beast. And even my friends was like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't know who this guy is? You have a magazine in the backseat of your car. He's in the magazine, man. He's one of the biggest, baddest dudes on the planet. Like, you don't know who this guy is? And I carried on for hours. The next day I'm at school. Bam, bam, Bigelow's coming. I'm just like,
who?
I'm still friends on my Facebook page with my junior high school gym teacher. I would bring him the program of all programs for all the matches that I went to, and he would excuse me from certain stuff if I gave him the thing. So I'm telling him in the lunchroom, like, yo, Mr. G, man, he's coming. What are you talking about? Like, Bam Bam Bigelow's coming. Who the fuck is Bam Bam Bigelow? I'm like, dude, read this book. I'm showing him a magazine. I was overwhelmed. Like, this was like the free agent. Like, this was like, you know, when you guys got A-Rod. You know what I'm saying? Or like,
yeah,
when Ken Griffey went to the Reds, it was like a big deal. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like that. Or when Wayne Gretzky went to the Kings. That's how big this was for me. Because I thought that this guy was going to run the fucking Fed. Scott Charles Bam Bam Bigelow was probably the most agile big man ever in professional wrestling. You had Vader. Yeah. You had
arguably, yes.
It's been debated, and I was in the middle of a lot of debates, especially with the Shining Wizards guys and the other guy who's
your audio is coming through choppy-ish.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Still?
No, now it's good.
I'm sorry. Maybe it's, I don't know. It might be my I apologize. I don't know what's going on. Hold on a minute. Let me try to fix something here.
How are you guys hearing him in the chat room?
Yeah. Can you hear me better now? I mean, I have it turned down because I don't want to. I'm peeking at the red. I don't want to blow my monitors out. Anyway, so I tell people, like, Scott, Bam Bam Bigelow was the guy, you know, and I thought. Like when you look at tape of him and you watched him on and you read about him in the magazine, they hyped him up as this bad dude, tattoos on the head, cartwheels, moonsaults. Like, you didn't see 370-pound guys doing moonsaults at that point and cartwheels. You know,
right?
So when he comes in, there's this big buzz around who's gonna get him. Like, if you don't know if you remember the segment, but all the managers were bidding for him.
Yes, like kind of like they did for Savage.
Right. And it was amazing. Like, you know, all the managers would cut promos. Bobby Heenan, Jimmy Hart, Johnny Valiant, Slick. They would all like, I'm getting him. And he brings out Oliver Humperdinck. And I was like, that guy too? I know who this guy is. And people are like, what are you talking about? Like, you guys don't read the aftermags? That's why I have this Love Jones with that kayfabe magazine, because it was my gateway to everything I couldn't see on TV, Scott.
Yeah.
And that was my thing. I couldn't – and I didn't understand why these people were like, oh, man, you know, how do you not know who this guy is? You guys are and I'm like carrying on, like, and I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. So he comes in and he makes a bit of an impact, and you know, it wasn't what I thought it was gonna be. I mean, he had some good matches, but he wasn't the guy. Like, he was in a Survivor Series match with Hogan and, you know, Demolition and all those guys. But, like, he was never, like, a top guy.
No, they wouldn't push him.
And at that point, you know, you're still young enough to be like, why? And, you know, you're young enough to not know what's going on, but you're not young enough to start questioning why they're not doing the right. Now, listen, today's 15-year-old is, you know, they question everything because they have the internet. We didn't have any of that shit. Well, like, how come they're not using him? How come they're not putting him in title matches? Like, you questioned it, like, today, but it's not as bad as it is today. And I didn't understand. And so he goes and has these couple, you know, he's feuding with Bobby Heenan's guys. And he's, you know, he had a couple of IC title matches. And just, you know, they didn't give him a tag team partner. I was like, this is not right. Like, why are you not using this guy? This guy is amazing. You know, what are you going to do, push the Honky Tonk Man, for Christ's sake? Like, yep. Are you serious? Like, the Honky Tonk Man's getting a push, and this fucking this Jay Brown is your IC champ, and you're not going to push the Beast from the East? I don't know. So, a couple of months go by, a year goes by, and now it's the summertime again, and I didn't know the match was going on because they didn't announce it the month before. But this is around the time I didn't go every month. From 88 to 89, I went like maybe 5 or 6 months out of the year. I didn't go every month. So now I'm starting to wind it down. My family's starting to wind it down. And they're not into it as much as I am. So I get to the match and they give out the program and, of course, the inserts in there. And they tell you all the matches, cards subject to change. And I'm looking and I'm like, this can't be right. I point to my cousin. I'm like, this can't be right. He's like, what? I'm like, look who's on the card tonight. And he goes, holy shit. I go, yeah. Andre's playing Bam Bam Bigelow. And we were like, are you kidding me? No. This was like a dream match. Now, obviously, like I said, Andre is not in the best of shape. Obviously, he's not going to be the guy you want him to be because he's just not, you know, I mean, he died like 3 years later. I mean, he was in bad shape. Yeah. You could see in this match he was in bad shape. And, man, was I pissed. I was pissed. But I wasn't pissed because I was pissed because I knew, like, that, A, I knew Bam Bam wasn't going to win. That's A. And B, I just knew that Andre wasn't the Andre that I grew up with, like 5 or 6 years prior to that. So, you said you were at this match? So, me and you probably, you said you were there or no?
I might have been. I'm trying to remember it. But I know I went to a lot of matches around this time, but this one, it might have been there. I don't think I was, but I don't remember, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to so many, but watching this match, it didn't ring a bell with me that I was there.
Well, this is June 25th, 1988. And I can remember it was, you know, school's out, whatever. It was the last week of school, and we're all pumped. But I didn't know that this wasn't announced. And I was at the May show with my mom and my aunt and everybody. I'm like, if I knew this was going to happen, I would have been like more. But when I got there, it was like Christmas, dude. I didn't care about any other match that night. I wanted to see this match. And when I found it on 24/7, I was like, holy shit. Because I had the 24/7 on demand for like a year and a half before I got Fios. So I didn't have Fios when I moved out here initially. I was living in my wife was living in a one bedroom on the other side of the island, and I was still living in Queens visiting her, so she didn't want cable until I moved in. She didn't want to pay for it because she didn't want until I moved in there.
Right.
So I was like, all right. So I would just bring stuff over for her and DVDs and whatever, and I would, you know, illegal cable. But, you know, when I finally got Fios, the first thing I did was get to 24/7. I don't remember seeing this on 24/7. But there's a guy on here who has a bunch of stuff from the Garden.
Yeah.
I picked out like three or four throwbacks I think I want to do. I'm going to send them to you eventually. But I have them saved in a folder. And I have the capability of downloading them in case they take them down off the YouTube. But I'm sure you do too. There's a program you can just add to your browser to download the video.
Yeah.
And it's in good quality. But I just hearing his name announced, Andre, is a spectacle. Let me just, if you can amuse me for a second, I'm going to play the audio for a second.
Murray Park, New Jersey, playing 393 pounds, Bam, Bam, Bigelow!
And you just, well, yeah, Andre got announced, but.
Oh, Bam Bam Bigelow coming into the ring area. Hi, once again, Roger Kent, ringside, alongside me, living legend, superstar Billy Graham. And our analyst at this hour is Lordship, Lord Alfred Hayes.
Doing double duty like Scott said tonight.
Yeah.
393 pounds.
Andre was like 508?
Five. Hold on a second. Let me fast forward right now. I'll tell you right now. Hold on a second.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest is scheduled for one fall. Soon to approach the ring area, he will be led by his manager, Bobby the Brain Heenan, from Grenoble in the French Alps, weighing 520 pounds, the eighth wonder of the world, Andre the Giant.
No one announced Andre better than Howard Finkel.
Nobody announced. He's still the best announcer I've seen so far in my lifetime.
520 pounds, Scott.
7 foot plus.
They say he's 7'5". There's no way he's 7'5". He's like,
I'm going to give him 7'2".
I think he's 7 foot. Because when you see him stand next to Hogan, who's almost 6'6", right? 6'8". Yeah. Hogan was almost as tall as him.
Yeah.
When they stand side to face to face. But just a massive sight. Now these two slabs of beef are going to throw down, you know? And I'm just beside myself. I'm not trying to make this all about me tonight, but I was there. I'm just excited because I just remember the excitement of seeing this, thinking that, you know, it could have been something better, but it wasn't. But, I mean, it was still a sight to see, you know? Yeah. You still do it in the video games and the action figures and everything else. So, but did you enjoy watching this match at all?
Yes.
You did? Okay. Good. I'm glad you did. I don't want to bore you with stuff that I pick out. I really don't. I would feel terrible if I did. Get into it a little bit. Let's talk about it a little bit.
All right. Yeah, so after they're in the ring and they're about to go on, the crowd starts the weasel chant, as always.
It's Garden. Yeah.
Yep. But Bobby Heenan didn't stay at ringside. He actually went to the back for this match.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I have that in my notes here. I wondered, they didn't mention why. Like,
he probably had a big match coming up next.
He did, probably.
You know, something like fighting for a title or something like that.
That'd maybe
this time, Hogan was still champ, and Hogan was feuding with his whole stable.
Yeah, yeah. So, and this was right after, this is right after Savage won the title. This was 88,
yeah.
Right?
86, yeah,
88. So this is WrestleMania 4. This is right after WrestleMania 4. So Bigelow is, you know, right at the open, Bigelow is trying to avoid Andre. And Andre is just, you know, yelling at the ref, like, you know, why don't you come fight me? And when Bigelow finally engages him... Andre throws a big fucking right hand and pummels him. And then works his neck on the ropes. It was crazy. Like, just, you know, Andre just leaning his 500 pounds into Bam Bam, who's a big dude. Like, you know, to see Andre manhandle a big guy, like when he fought Bundy and Stud, it was almost like the same thing. But Bigelow was an agile dude. Like, Bundy's more stationary. Bigelow can move like a fucking cruiserweight for a 390-pound dude. 400,
393.
You know, Andre with the sleeper and listen, the size of his hands with the beer can on the interwebs does him no justice in person, man.
Hey, let me hang on. Hey, Will. We didn't see the match. We weren't at the Garden when Andre fought Bam Bam, were we?
I don't think so.
No, I didn't think so either. Oh, by the way, you're live on the air. Okay.
And Will would know.
Yeah.
Will would definitely know if you guys were there. So he's just the biggest fan that we are. Anyway. Yeah. So, like, just to see him manhandle Bam Bam was crazy, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, the only offense Bam Bam had was the, as you stated a few weeks ago, the spot where Andre gets tied up in the ropes. Yeah. You know, and he just, you know, worked him over, but then Andre just gave him a big boot and got out and went right back to the nerve holds, the trapezius muscles.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, he applied that bear hug, nothing. You know, Bam Bam was done. He was in that bear hug for like 5 minutes. That's the only thing I hated about Andre matches was that 5 minute bear hug.
Yeah, that, and he would do that headbutt to the back of the head or the neck. Like, that just looked painful. Like, he just hits Bam Bam with it now and knocks him to the floor. Bam Bam tries to get back up, and then Andre just sits on him.
Yeah.
Like, multiple times, just crushes him in the corner. And it's got, I don't care how fixed this is, when a 500-pound man is sitting on your chest, that has to hurt. That has to hurt. I'm sorry. I know it's a work. I know that they hold back sometimes. But it's got to hurt, and he's got to smell.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't shower before the match. I guarantee that.
No, he probably didn't shower like after the last match either. He was French. They don't shower.
I don't think Andre gave a shit. But he
you say something to him.
I'm not saying nothing to him. You say something to him. Fuck that.
You take a shower when you want, big man.
Yeah. So, like, 6 minutes in, I mean, basically, like Scott said, most of the match is Andre manhandling the Beast from the East. And he throws a chop, right? I want to say, like, 6.5 minutes in, and he just – and Bigelow – you know, he takes it. He doesn't pretend like he doesn't take it. But he gets back up. Andre goes for a boot, misses, and then does his arms get caught in a rope spot. And Now Bigelow gets to work him over. So Bigelow, I mean, what's good about Bigelow is like he sold everything Andre gave to him. You know, but he manhandles Andre in that spot. With the referee looking like a budget Dracula with the friggin' with the Dracula haircut and that thing
that
goatee.
Blue button up.
That blue button up and the goatee.
Yeah.
So and Bigelow spent about a minute and a half just laying elbows, throwing elbows and forearms into Andre's face, choked him, got a five almost got a five count on him.
Yeah.
And the ref's like finally getting Andre up off the ropes. And Andre was not one to sell to a lot of people. But I think he liked Bam Bam Bigelow for some reason. The guys he didn't like, you could tell in the ring he wouldn't sell. Ask Ultimate Warrior that. But as soon as Andre gets up, he goes right back into that bear hug again. Again, this wasn't the greatest match. It was just a certain time in my life, and I just wanted to show Scott that I was there, and I wanted to let all you guys know that this was like a dream match for me as a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old. So now we're like, I mean, like 8 minutes in, Bigelow's working. He's really selling the bear hug, right?
Yes.
So he's selling the bear hug. Now he's taking the air out of him. They do the 1-2-3 with the arms. Bigelow kicks out of it twice at least.
Yeah,
and then does the clap to the ears and still doesn't break the freaking move.
Tried to thunder clap his ears like five times,
and still Andre's on his knees. Like Andre, Andre knows if he gets up now. This is how good Andre is. Andre knows because he grabbed Bigelow from a kneeling position, right? When he broke from the ropes, So now Andre knows if he gets up while he's got the bear hug in, he's going to break the hold. So he stays on his knees for like almost 5 minutes in a match. And take and on his now, now mind you, he's not in shape. He's got Bigelow in this friggin' in his bear hug on his knees trying to take the big man out. And Bigelow fights back. Fights back, and the bear hug is still intact. Bigelow's half asleep. Andre finally gets to one knee, gets up, and then just starts to work on the back again. Now he's going to manhandle him in the corner. He whips him into the corner, and Bigelow reverses it. And Andre tries to sell it, and then backs himself into a corner. Like, well, in other words, he didn't think he was going to hit him, and then Andre puts the boot up to him.
And that was it.
And that was it. And I want to take you to the... do you want to play the ending of this?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I don't know how he's continuing.
Look out. The he's going to whip him. He's whipping him into the turnbuckles all the way. No! Andre seemed to be somewhat off balance, and Bam Bam took advantage of it.
You're right, Roger. Oh.
A defensive move.
Sucking him right into
24,
that.
1, 2, 3. Andre, wisely covering.
Brilliant strategy there on the part of Andre.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Lord, how many times have we seen that foot go up in the air and stop him dead in their tracks?
Here's your winner, Andre the Giant.
Andre wants to go after Bam Bam. He's choking him with his tunic shoulder strap.
He better be careful here, Roger. There may be a reversal of the decision if he persists in that sort of treatment.
The referee isn't fooled one iota.
This is all at the hands of Bobby Heenan. This is the end result of Bobby Heenan's tutoring right there. Andre the Giant choking a man unmercifully.
Yes, Bobby wants him to be a killer.
No, wait a minute. The referee is looking for some help.
Well, if it's going to take an army, I guarantee you that, to get the big man.
No one man could stop that. That's got to be an army. You're quite right. And they've...
Here comes an army.
Yeah, something's happening. Look at Hacksaw Jim Duggan coming into the ring. And he nails Andre. Andre headbutts Hacksaw. Hacksaw put him away with
Andre
that.
Andre taking for the high ground. I've never seen that before.
Never before.
Oh, that's the very first time ever. He's run from Duggan.
Andre got the decision in Hacksaw. Duggan comes in. The Bam Bam Bigelow's defense.
Well, I tell you what.
He knocked the Giant out with that 2x4 a few weeks ago.
Yes, he did. And I tell you what, brother. He just rearranged his vertebrae. I tell you what. The man hit him about 5 times with a 2x4.
Superstar, have you ever seen the Giant run before?
I've never seen the Giant run. I've never seen the Giant turn his back and walk away from any opponent ever. And I've known the man for, well, I'm not going to say how long, maybe 15 years.
He ran, though.
He ran, brother.
He sought the high ground immediately.
Yes, he did.
Would you say he's in awe of Duggan? Could a giant
he's in
like
awe
him?
Of the 2x4.
I think so.
Well, Bam Bam Bigelow is trying to get his witch back together.
Bigelow's hurt, Roger Kent. He's hurt, and he's hurt bad.
He's hurt seriously.
He took a tremendous thrashing from Andre the Giant. And a lesser man would have been carried out of this ring on a stretcher.
Some of the officials have come up ringside. They're concerned about Bam Bam.
I mentioned that Bam Bam would not give up. He did not submit. He was pinned, but you would have never got an I give up out of Bam Bam Bigelow.
He doesn't know whether he's foot or horseback right now, though.
Well, just like the doctor says, take 3 aspirins and hope it works. Maybe you'll need a few more than 3.
Well, there's our one.
All right, a couple of things, a couple of takeaways from that. First of all, Superstar Billy Graham was awful behind the microphone. That was first of all. Number two, Lord Alfred Hayes did sound like he was drunk, but he was always for the heel wrestlers. I love that, too. Beef, my buddy Jason. That's because he was drunk. Yeah, I'm not surprised he had a couple of cocktails on 8th Avenue before he came in. No big deal. Everybody's allowed. That doesn't make him a bad guy, right?
No.
But even as bad as Andre was physically at this point of his career, he never lost. Like, matches like that. Like, they would make him lose title matches to Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. And, you know, he did wind up forming a nice tag team with the Haku at that point. Was that the Colossal Connection?
Yes.
Yeah, so. Yeah, so that was the match, man. I mean, it wasn't nothing, you know, to write home about, but it was just something to think about when you're, you know, when you're 15, you know. But all in all, what'd you think of the match?
It was pretty good. I mean, it was just a typical Andre match.
Yeah.
You know, he beat you up, got caught in the ropes, you had your little offense, and then he just bear hugged you and then pinned you.
Let me ask you something. Do you think it would, if this was like 1985 and it was Bam Bam and Andre, you think it would be a better match?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Like you said, Andre just, he was winding down.
Yeah.
Not just his career, but his life.
Of course, Bam Bam would, you know, stay in the States for a while. He wound up having that WrestleMania moment years later with that was terrible with Lawrence Taylor. But
yeah,
at this point in the game, he went to the NWA after this and had a U.S. title feud with Barry Windham in 88. So, and he had a match that was the Great American Bash or I want to say Clash of Champions. I'm doing this by memory, so I don't want to look it up. I'm too lazy. But I know he had a U.S. title feud with Barry Windham. And even then, I was like, oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine if he wins the U.S. title? That'd be so dope. Barry Windham was on the top of his game at that point. But they put on a fucking match and a half, him and Barry Windham. Maybe we'll do that as a throwback.
Yeah.
That was a really good match, him and Barry Windham. But then he went to Japan. Because, again, they didn't utilize him in the States. Same thing with Hansen, same thing with Vader, same thing with a bunch of guys, Kenny Omega. I mean, a lot of guys that didn't, Michael Elgin's doing it now in Japan.
Yeah.
You know, like, these guys don't get utilized in the States. They go to Japan, and Doc and Gordy, guys from last week that we talked about. Like, just amazing talent.
I mean, a couple of other ones, Test and, not Test, Tomko and Albert.
Yeah, Albert. Carl Anderson, Gallows, AJ. Yeah.
Speaking of Gallows, did you read that thing that when he was on someone's podcast and he was telling the story that Vince had no clue he was Festus?
I saw that.
And somebody was like, let's go tell Vince. He's like, no, don't tell Vince. Yeah, don't remind him.
Don't tell Vince anything. What's wrong with you people?
I thought that was funny.
I'm not surprised, though.
Me either.
Right, I mean, Vince doesn't know everything. I mean, he probably thinks he does, but I don't know. But I know for a fact that he probably didn't know at all. That's probably true.
Yeah, because that was that other story with Jimmy Wang Yang, where like he was gone for 6 months and he showed up and was there, and he's like, "Ah, Vince comes up to him, he's like, who are you wrestling tonight?" And he's like, "You fired me 6 months ago. I'm just hanging out."
Yes, Matt, we can't forget the Bam Bam feud with Doink. I try to forget it. But Bam Bam went to Japan and he had an amazing career. Had tag
Thief.
That's our boy Jason Grooms.
Okay.
The
Hour Back, get it?
Hour Back, get it. Jason was one of my first guests on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, FYI. You can go back and listen to that. Anyway. Yeah, he went to Japan and wound up as a successful tag team with Vader, and he did some really cool shit in New Japan, Old Japan. You know, one of my top five favorite people of all time, wrestlers. Like, I can't say enough about Scott Charles, yeah. Bam Bam Bigelow.
Do you know what was really funny in the beginning of the match? I was listening to him talking. They were like, he's got tattoos on his head.
Yeah.
Do you think that intimidates her? Like, nowadays, like, everybody has tattoos. But back then, it was like your typical. You were in the Marines. You had the anchor or the tiger or something like that.
You were in the Navy. You had the anchor. You were in the Marines. You had the dog. You know, the Vietnam vet guys came back and they had fucking jailhouse tattoos.
Yeah, you know. But he was one of the first guys to, like, come in. He had his whole, you know, the flames on his head and everything. So, yeah, I thought it was funny how they were talking about how intimidating tattoos on your head are. I'm like, nowadays that shit is like normal. You're like, if you don't have tattoos, you're just like the outcast.
Well, back in the day, tattoos for us before we got older were a sign of hardness. Like guys got them in jail, bikers got them, old guineas got them. You know, like just a lot of guys get those jailhouse tattoos. You know,
armed forces.
Yeah, armed forces guys. Like I said, you know, Vietnam vets. You know, that's who got tattoos. Then it became like a thing. You know, in the '90s, everybody got like the not us, but they got like the you know the juice heads to get the fucking tribal art and you know barbed wire. Like fuck out of here, smash your face with that barbed wire,
right?
How many guys did you beat up in your lifetime that had barbed wire on it? I got into about 3 or 4 fights with dudes who had barbed wire or tribal art tattoo and caught the beating of their life. And you go home and you're like, oh, first you're mad because now you're sore from beating this guy up, right? Then he probably got a couple of good shots. And now you're bruised somewhere. Now that's going to bother you for a little while. Yep. But then you go back and laugh and go, that dude had barbed wire on his forearms. What a douche.
Yeah. Barbed wire tattoos are the equivalent of a fucking man bun today.
Man bun or like the tramp stamp, you know? Oh,
tramp stamp.
as I call them, the cum catches.
You know what's great is like every fucking girl I talk to, like 35 and older, I'm like, so what's your big rat? This tramp stamp. The tramp stamp.
as you deposit a couple of kids on her fucking lower back, you're like, yeah, it's just something to catch, you know?
Oh, why's my back hurt? Because my kids are sitting on you.
Hit you in the back. Our back. Dropping them in. Get it in the back. Fucking, you fucking hunchback. Anyway, yeah, look at beef. I used to do a lot of work in the village. I used to shoot people's heads up with Novocaine and carve grooves in their head. jerky boys.
What? I always wanted to do. Do you remember that head-on commercial at the end of Jeopardy?
Of course.
Head-on, apply directly to forehead. Head-on, apply directly to forehead. They would just repeat that shit for like 30 seconds. Always wanted to put that on my fist and punch somebody in the head repeatedly while saying that.
Wait, is this it? Hold on.
Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Available at Walgreens. Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head on. Available at Walgreens.
Yep, that was it.
From the makers of Head-On, introducing Activon. Arthritis pain? Activon. Apply directly where it hurts. Activon Arthritis. Available at Walgreens.
I think I found the name of our episode. Head on. Apply directly to forehead.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah, there you go. A little 90s flashback for you, 80s flashback for you. Thank you, interwebs.
Gotta fucking love them.
Oh, man. But, yeah, we didn't like... the guys who got tattoos in our crew were hard. But guys who got tattoos and weren't in our crew were fucking just juice heads or dumbasses, you know?
And if you live in the greater New York City area and you're looking for a tattoo, go see our friend Richie Fye.
Go see Rich Fye. You know,
I mean, I'm not being biased or anything because he's my boy, but he does some fucking great work.
Hey, Kubo still does some good work, man, on 101st Avenue. He did one of my tattoos, too, back in the day. But he's still doing tattoos, man. That dude's in my mom's age.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a couple of legends out here, man. Stigma's got his tattoo shop on the Lower East Side, but nobody does like Richie Fye. So he's the premier dude right now. He's up, close personal friend. So he's not a big wrestling fan, so we gotta get him on the show eventually, too.
Maybe it's like a Christmas episode or something. Get him to call in.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all right. But anyway, is he still doing tattoos in Island Park? I don't know if Jim is still doing tattoos. There's a guy guy we did fantasy wrestling with. He did tattoos in Island Park. I don't know if he's still. That's far. Island Park, is that upstate or is that Long Island? I think it's Long Island. Well, it might be upstate. I'm not sure. That name sounds familiar, but I don't remember him Matt Squires, all my tattoos were applied with a sponge. Oh, it is Long Island. Yeah, it's Nassau County. I don't think so, Beef. I don't think that guy's around. I don't know. I have to look him up. He probably is somewhere. You know? Do some fantasy wrestling up in here, Nick says.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with, you know, you got a world champion of fantasy wrestling in that chat room right now. And on the microphone, you have a former U.S. champion. I got a plaque to prove it. Tell you that story another time. How my geekiness extended to wrestling. My fantasy sports. Anyway, I think we're done for tonight, Kid Human. You want to add anything else?
Oh, no. I mean, you ready for the plugs?
Of course I'm ready for the plugs. Whenever you're ready, there, Tickles.
All right. Don't forget tomorrow night, as we brought up earlier, Phil Rea, Surfer, hosting the Rant EM Fantasy Football Draft, 7 p.m. Then stick around for Will Morgan, Mr. Hightower, and Big Tone as they bring you the latest with the Wrestling Call-In Show at 11 p.m. Sunday, come on back and listen to Surfer and Joe Woko, Jordan Worth Cobb, as they bring you the What Are You Reading comic book show. Catch up to date news on your latest comic books, TV shows, and movies. Tuesday night, the Rant is back. What are they going to do without the summer of the NWO? Who knows?
Hey, Beef.
Tune in to find out.
Teddy Bridgewater is not available, asshole. Fucking dirty Jets fan. Eat a bag of dicks. Anyway, go ahead.
Find out with AA and Tony C Tuesday at 8. Wednesday night, Rob Domingo and the crew will be bringing you a brand new Thumbstick Ninjas. Thursday night, you have Mofo, Pookie, Doomsday, Teddy Bridgewater, Tony Romo, because they have nothing better to do because they ain't playing this year, and they'll be on the Rant and Wrestling show. Next Friday night, join myself and the Impact player Phil Rea at 9 p.m. for another great edition of Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
That's right. Don't forget rantemradio.com to get all those shows that Kid Human just plugged. Go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com. And get our show there, and the rest of the shows, Wizards and Conclusive Breakdown, all those other shows, get them there. Stranger in the Southland, whatever the fuck his name is. That guy, get his show. Just good stuff out there. Of course, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com has all of your back episodes, and you can download all of all the friend shows, all the networks of Geeks in the Industry. We have Talk Brunch, we have Midnight Jury. We have Don Tony, Kevin Castle, Wrestling Soup. We have Tank's Toy Box. There is a plethora of good quality programming on that net, on that page. Click on it. Get all your friends. Get all our friends. Support them. Support us. You want to email the show, turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com. You want to hit us on Twitter. It's @TBuckleTBacks and @KidHuman616. We're very active on social media. We're on Facebook.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. Join the group page. Let us. What else?
I've put up the PWI Top 500 alphabetical order list, as well as tonight's match with Bam Bam versus Andre while we were on the...
Yes, awesome. Thank you very much. And also, we have t-shirts, ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. We have 4 different designs, even for the fatties. Get a shirt. Yeah, Jay Lethal was too low at 5. We talked about that before. Good call, Beef. So, on behalf of the Kid Human on the Impact player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu, reminding you all, please take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid the clap. Don't get arrested. Kiss your mom. Don't say the N-word. And just, you know, be a good fucking person, man.
And we'd like to thank our sponsor, Head On, by the record of forehead.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. You think you're strong? You're gonna be